And it's possible to not only form a conscience, but also deform a conscience.
Welcome back, everybody. We hope you had a great weekend. This is the Monday of the second week of Lent.
And thank you for journeying with us, because this is a journey. Janelle and I reflecting on these readings is not us teaching you. It's more us and our journey, and we're sharing it with you. And we thank you for journeying with us. We appreciate your comments. We appreciate your insights in addition to what we share. So it's an honor for us to be able to journey with you this way. Today, we're talking about
conscience.
Yeah.
Our prayer during Lent aims at awakening consciences, at making them sensitive to God's voice.
Just stop there. What does prayer do during Lent? It awakens our conscience. Have you ever wondered, have I ever heard God's voice? Well, have you ever had this interior sense of right and wrong? Oh, you shouldn't do this. Maybe you should do that. That's God's voice. That's what Father Fernandez is saying. He's saying prayer makes us sensitive to God's voice. So prayer awakens our conscience, the nudges that God wants to give in our life. Another way to understand this would be, what if we don't pray? Well, then our conscience goes dull. Mm-hmm. Important to remember.
Conscience is the light of the soul, of what is deepest in man's being. And if this light is put out, man is thrown into darkness and can commit the most dastardly abuses against himself and against others.
Dastardly. I have a feeling that means something bad. Not good, considering the context. I think we can agree that when we look in the world, our society has lost its conscience. And a society, by what I mean is people. People have lost their conscience. And when people lose their conscience, society loses their way. Think about what we do sometimes. I mentioned this earlier, but we kill babies in the womb of a mother. We say two men can get married or two women can get married to each other. We have a distorted view of human sexuality. Mm-hmm. Our world is going chaotic. And it's because we've lost God. We've lost our conscience. And so we do disastrous things to ourselves and to others.
Right. And even like things such as not keeping holy the Sabbath, like just look at all of the commandments. Like I feel like maybe people don't think that that's a big deal, but it actually is a really big deal. And it offends God greatly when we don't keep holy the Sabbath.
Sure. Intentionally missing Mass in normal circumstances is a mortal sin. Yet do our consciences dictate to us this truth, or have we numbed our consciences to the point where I don't really have to go to Mass, I'm kind of tired? The whole point of this is just to point out that we need to keep our conscience guarded and keep it alive. Now, instead of now pointing to society, let's examine our hearts a little bit.
We all need to form for ourselves a true and refined conscience, which readily listens to the voice of God in everyday matters. Doctrine, as regards the knowledge of moral and social teaching, and life, the effort to practice the Christian virtues, are two essential requisites for educating one's conscience. So I just feel like over the last few years, probably like since having children, particularly, I feel like it's become more at the forefront of, you know, our learning, our personal educating of ourselves, because we want to teach our children to be virtuous people. And in order to do that, we need to learn about the virtues. In terms of doctrine, feel like that's been a journey, a lifelong journey, really, just asking questions. Why does the church teach what she teaches? And then going and finding the answer. And when we don't know, we ask people who do know, because obviously God has placed that curiosity in our heart, and we really should seek the truth. Conscience can be deformed through our not having used the means to get to know the faith, or through an ill will dominated by pride, sensuality, laziness.
And that's one thing we don't want. We don't want a deformed conscience. And so some of the things that we can do to enlighten our conscience is taking these opportunities to learn about the faith, to learn about the Catholic spiritual life. And you're doing that. So great job. Keep it up. And don't stop. Other things that can deaden the conscience is just leading and drifting into a lifestyle of vice. And it might not be serious at the beginning, although every sin is serious, but we have distinctions between mortal and venial sin. But sometimes we can treat venial sin, not a big deal. And so we drift into it. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves drifting into intentional venial sin. And then that's one step away from committing a mortal sin. And all these little steps deaden our conscience, make us impervious sometimes to truth. It's like it doesn't happen all of a sudden. And I know this from personal experience. Early on in my spiritual walk, there was some sins that I was struggling with. And I felt, at first, I felt really guilty about it. And then, well, it wasn't so bad. And then my conscience told me, well, I don't feel ashamed at all. But intellectually, I knew what I was doing was wrong. And at that point, I knew I was in trouble. Because intellectually, I knew this is a mortal sin. But I felt like it was no big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you don't even feel sorry about it, or you just carry on, you just keep committing that sin over and over.
But I'm going to say I'm grateful for the grace to know intellectually mm-hmm. that it was wrong. Like this is what I'm grateful for that. Mm-hmm. That light was still there.
Right, but it's obvious that that's like a slow deadening of your conscience. Really,
it's like that analogy of the frog in the water. You take a frog and you throw it into a pot of boiling water. What happens? It immediately jumps out. Mm-hmm. But you take that same frog, you put it into cold water on the pot on the stove, and you slowly increase the temperature. What happens? You cook the frog. Is not able to identify the slow progression of temperature change in the water. And I think sometimes that's like our conscience. It's a slow movement mm-hmm. away from the truth.
The church offers us the means, but she does not exempt us from the effort required to use these means responsibly. In our prayer today, we can ask ourselves, do I dedicate sufficient time to my religious formation, or do I allow myself to become absorbed by the other things that fill each day? Do I have a plan for reading, reviewed in spiritual guidance, which will help me make progress in doctrinal formation according to my age and background? Am I faithful to the magisterium of the church, knowing that there I find the light of truth rather than the contradictory opinions I often come across in matters of faith, social teaching, etc.? I feel like this is really important. This is a responsibility of ours where we have to take it in our own hands to make sure that we know the truth. And, you know, it's interesting because sometimes we have to be really careful because some people might be speaking as though they know the truth, but it might not be truth. So where do we find truth? How do we know what is really real mm-hmm. in terms of Catholic teaching? Well, I think one good place to go to is the catechism.
Yeah, when it comes to doctrine and living out that faith, for sure. It's a mm-hmm. basic summary of the fullness of truth that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even like I think, you know, as Catholic parents, one of our big responsibilities and duties is to teach our children in the faith. And how can we teach our children if we ourselves are not formed properly?
And it's possible to not only form our conscience, but also deform our conscience. Mm-hmm. So excellent practical advice. Do you have a plan to form your conscience? I think you're doing that right now. Hopefully we're inspiring you. Your conscience is being formed by what you see. If it's not, get rid of us mm-hmm. because we want to be a blessing to you, not a burden. But what about the other stuff that we take into our life? That forms us as well. I'm talking about what we see on TV, whether it be the news, whether it be the shows that we watch, whether it be the podcasts that we listen to, the books that we read, the people that we spend time with, the places mm-hmm. that we go. All these things shape us and form us. And some of those are kind of passive formations of our conscience, but they have an effect. Mm-hmm. Think about the advice you give to young people. You say, stay away from the bad crowd. Why? Because you go bad. Hang out with a good crowd, what happens then? Well, then you go good. And then you hang out with the divine crowd, what happens? You go divine. And what I mean by that, the divine crowd is Jesus Christ. You spend time with Jesus, you become like Jesus, mm-hmm. you start forming, his light starts shining within you, forming that conscience.
It's interesting because we were just speaking last night about, you know, when we were first married, we used to love watching this certain TV series. And now I think back to, oh my goodness, I can't believe I spent so much time wasted watching this series that was doing absolutely nothing for my spiritual good and probably numbing my conscience. And, you know, even now, I remember having a conversation with someone recently and they were talking about how much they loved this show. And they're like, oh, but Janelle, you wouldn't like it. And I was like, okay, So what does that mean? What does that mean? You know, do we have different standards?
Obviously. I think one of the things, just throwing it out to you guys, like, are you bothered when you hear in a movie cursing, taking the Lord's name in vain? Does that bother you? It should.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't, there's something that's kind of gone quiet in our conscience. Mm-hmm. What about relationships between people? Are you bothered by almost every single relationship that you see on TV as being a fornicating relationship? That should bother us. Hollywood has normalized disorder. And we've just gone along with this without any thought. And all of a sudden we click on Netflix and it's just, well, this is just how life is. Lies.
Yeah, and even for us, one thing that I've noticed more is like seeing the way that children in movies or in shows treat their parents or people in authority or even each other. The way that they are they kind? Are they being rude? Are they, you know, respectful? Or are they being, you know, self-centered? It's actually very almost offensive to me. Like I just can't even watch certain things. But I know that if I start and I continue, then I will become desensitized.
And regarding TV, I guess it's a little side here, but it is difficult to find something that's nurturing to the soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an entertainment factor type of movie. You really got to search for it.
Mm-hmm. And ask people who you trust for recommendations.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do a video on that separately, what we show our kids.
On occasion, faced with the gray areas that are not unfamiliar in our professional work, we have to consider the situation in the presence of God.
I think great practical advice. Sometimes we get ourselves into a position where we just don't know what the right or wrong thing to do is, and we just have to make a decision. So one practice that's very useful is place yourself in the presence of God. Place yourself before Jesus himself, who is judge. And now you are before Jesus, who is going to judge you, and you make that decision. It really can influence how we make decisions. I think it's very simple, practical advice. Place yourself in the presence of God before making a decision that you're unsure about. So friends, thank you so much for watching. Please comment below, share with us what stood out to you and why. The rosary is going to be right up there. And we will see you tomorrow.